live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Our guest today is local poet Charlie Bowne. We've been having a good old natter, Charlie, haven't we? Because we go back a long way. You were my daughter's primary school teacher.
That's right. And it's, I have to say, it's very strange to be on the side not asking the questions, because teachers like to be in control. So to to be the person on this side of the desk is a bit different.
Yes.
Well, it's lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you too. And the usual times that we've been on opposite sides of the desks have been for parents' evening.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, actually, my husband and I went to our first parents' evening as parents instead of teachers recently, and is a different experience, I have to say.
Well, I have to say, you were my daughter's favourite teacher.
Oh, I think you probably have to say that.
No, you were. So you're here now to not talk about teaching, but to talk about your new collection of poems, which is very exciting, called There's a Poem in My Dungarees.
Yes.
I know you're going to read some poems later and we're going to talk about it, but you've got to explain the title first.
Well, I think actually that just started because I've always loved dungarees, probably, and I've always worn them, and one day that idea popped into my head about having a pair of dungarees that was covered in pockets, and in every pocket there was a different item, and they sort of all inspired different ideas for poems. And then it became actually the idea of a poem being in the dungarees but not being able to find it, so looking for everything else and finding everything else but not finding the poem, which turned into the poem There's a Poem in My Dungarees. And that idea that you can make a poem about not making a poem, if that makes sense.
Oh, so, love it. Great, yeah. Idea. And this is a collection of poems all written by you.
They are, yes. Yeah, over several years, I'd say now, because really this is something I did for fun and I enjoyed writing poems. And probably children can remember the ones I've taught me sort of occasionally reading them, one to sort of get feedback in the classroom. But it was fairly recently that I said, actually, I want to do something with this. I want them to be together in a book. And how does that work? And starting to learn about the journey of becoming an author rather than just writing for fun. And that's been a huge learning curve.
And poems written for children, they're your readers.
Yes, yeah.
What age group are we talking
about? So this book, I sort of said 7 to 12 if you're reading them yourself. But for me, poetry is for all ages. And actually, young children enjoy this too, and they might need to have the poems read to them, but they can love them just as much as someone who's older reading the book for themselves. So,
well, that's true, isn't it, that children do like poetry and then we sort of go off it as adults, which is such a shame.
Yeah, that does happen, I think. And I think, especially for young readers, it's such an important thing to listen to rhyme and rhythm. And it's actually a lot of how we develop our language and our understanding of how sentences work. You know, from a very early age, you think nursery rhymes or singing songs to children that have got that rhythm and that rhyme in them. It's how we learn, and it's how we learn about language, and it's how we learn to love words. So I just think it's possibly like the best type of writing there is. And I do enjoy writing other things, and I have written some picture books and some chapter books for children, but this is where it's at, really, for me.
And being a teacher and having read poetry to your pupils, you can see what works as well.
Absolutely. And you can also see that for some children, when it comes to writing, there's a lot of structure that goes with writing a story. And I think sometimes as writers, you almost have to learn it and then unlearn it to become the writer you want to be. But at school age, you're very much told, you know, these are the elements you need in your story and this is how your story will work. And until you know those basics, you can't start playing around with them. For me, poetry is all about play. It's all about playing with words, playing with language, being excited about and making up new words as well, which is even more fun. So it takes away some of that nervousness for someone who's sitting down to write for the first time, because there isn't that structure there. And actually, I'm not going to tell you your poem's wrong. That's your own imagination. That's your ideas. So teaching poetry, I love doing that. And I love seeing what the children came up with. And I think it's a really exciting way to write.
And it can be a bit surreal what children come up with. I'm thinking about Roald Dahl, you know. Yeah. I mean, his stories are wonderfully surreal.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, when you show children nonsense poetry and they laugh, but they're not really sure where they're laughing, because it doesn't make sense, does it? That's the whole point of nonsense poetry. But to say to a child, it's okay to be silly with your writing, and to give them that freedom, I think so many children respond really positively to that.
And to just enjoy language.
Yes, yeah. And then that possibly that's the bit that starts to fade, actually, saying that as an adult, if you lose the fun And you just become one of these like boring grown-ups. That is something I've always fought against. I do, you know, the serious nature of growing up. I don't think we should have that. We've got to stay fun. And that's why I think writing children's poetry, you have to have that like inner child that's ready to play all the time. And that's what comes out in the poems.
Well, let's hear then that inner child now. You're going to read some poetry for us, aren't you?
Okay, so I'm going to read, this poem is called I Can't Wear Those Pants. And this is a poem which I was encouraging our five-year-old to put some pants on, because it's not socially acceptable and I do want you to have fun, but you are going to have to wear pants outside. And I handed him a pair of blue pants and he said, oh, I can't wear those pants. And this is where this poem came from. I can't wear those pants. Mum says, put your pants on. But I say, no, I can't wear those pants, I tell her. And here's why I go. Chefs wear pants with eggs on. And builders' pants have bricks. A doctor's pants have plasters, and a gardener's have sticks. If you're a painter, you have brushes, and a vet has mice and rats. A teacher's pants have pencils. A hat salesman, he has hats. My mum just doesn't get it. She doesn't seem to see. I can't wear blue pants, stripes or spots. Those pants all don't show me. My pants would need adventures. They'd need clever plans and codes. They'd need zooms and zags and ziggles and 27 modes. My pants would need to be curious. They'd have to be able to climb. My pants would need sparkles and sprinkles. And they'd need to tell the time. My pants would have super speedy stripes and colour-changing frazzle. I can't wear the pants my mum says. My bum deserves to dazzle.
I want pants that tell the time.
So I think there's a lot of my children that come through in this poetry, and a lot of their voice in there as well. But I also think if you're writing children's poetry, you have to have the mindset of a child that has to be there, and I think you have to see the magic of the world. So today we went to school, and the floor was covered in frost. It was really icy, and I think as an adult, it's really easy to just, you're walking somewhere, so you're thinking about where you're going to get to, 101 thoughts in your head. What happens if you're 5 or 2 and you're walking to school and you see that? Suddenly the floor is made of glitter, isn't it? You know, and this is exciting. Can we touch it? Can we stop in this puddle and see if it's slippy? Can I touch that leaf and see what happens if I crush it in my hands and it's covered in snow and ice? And I think to see the awe, like have awe in the world, as a child does, I think if you can harness that again and get that into your poetry, that's so exciting. So would you like another one?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, okay,
definitely.
So this one, this is based on that idea that we can find real joy in very small things. It's called Cereal Dust. At the bottom of the box, underneath the grains, hiding below the fancy stuff, is the best bit of the cereal. I like the hoops, and the flakes are okay. But the best bit of the cereal is always saved till last. It's the teeny tiny specks all crushed up at the bottom of the box. The cereal dust. Some people throw it away, but not me. I just wait patiently, always watching. Then one day I see someone is about to chuck the box in the recycling and I say, stop! You're about to throw the best bit away. Give me the box, please. Then I tip it and I tap it, and into my bowl falls the cereal dust. Minuscule morsels of magic straight into my belly, and the person who was going to throw out the box looks at me with a funny face, and I know they're thinking that they wish they'd been the one to get the dust.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Charlie. How wonderful is it for you to see all these poems in a book or published? Or I mean, this is a lovely book.
It's very joyful. It's funny. When I was at school myself, I would sit in assemblies and poets and authors would come and they'd hold their books up and they said, this is my book, and they'd read things from it. And I sort of sit there and I think, oh, when I'm a grown-up, that is what I want to do. And then I became a teacher, which I absolutely loved. And I sat in assemblies and I got a chair because I was a grown-up in the assembly now. But I still sat there when the poets came in and I thought, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And I think to have it, to hold it, and I've got a few school trips booked in now. I'm going to do some assemblies, some workshops. I just can't tell you how excited I am to be the person at the front holding the book and sharing the passion, because that's, for me, is that's what inspired me. Watching people excited about poems made me excited about them, and I just, yeah, I'm really hopeful that's what I'll be able to share when I go into schools.
So. And this is a lovely little book, a stocking filler book. I mean, it's ideal, as you say, for children, for of any age. I mean, you say 7 to 12, but as you say, those are perfect to be read to children younger than that.
One of the other things about it, which is, I don't know, if I've not seen other books do this, it's slightly unique to this one, is that, I'll just show you an example, I've left spaces for the children reading it to illustrate the poems, because it's very, I think with poetry, the whole thing is about conjuring images and creating ideas, and you're thinking all the time about the words and what they look like in your head. And I don't know how you show that with one illustration, because everyone's going to have a different take on it. So there's little sort of fun bits. So there's a poem called Pink Sky, and it's about a cat and who climbs a ladder. So I've put the ladder in, but there's space for you to draw your cat. So the idea is that as you're reading them, you might fill in those spaces and draw what the poem means to you into those little ideas. So I think that's quite a sort of fun fun take on illustrations.
It's nice, a way of interacting with the language and the story, isn't it? And so if people are listening to this and thinking, oh, do you know, yeah, this sounds a nice little gift, it's magicdaisypublishing.co.uk.
Yes, so Magic Daisy Publishing is sort of the umbrella company that I've used to self-publish. So there's still, unfortunately, is some snobbery around self-publishing in the writing world, which is a shame, because And to some extent, to be fair, I was similar. When I first thought about becoming an author, I thought, well, I've got to stay away from self-publish, right? Because I need the validation, and that, you know, I need someone to say to me, actually, you're good at this. You know, we want to take you on. And so I went down the traditional route, and I approached agents and I approached publishers. And especially with poetry, there was a real closed door, and it was very much, you haven't proved to us. You haven't proved yourself yet. So I went away. I thought, how do I prove it if you won't let me have a book? So I got in touch with other poets that are sort of doing the school circuits and are starting to get their books out there. I said, how did you get published? I can see that you've gone to a big publisher. How did you make this happen? And they all said, we self-published first. And we self-published because we wanted to do this and we wanted to share our work. And once we'd done that, we were able to say, hey, look, we sell. Kids like our work. You know, you could take us on now. And at that point, publishers were able to look at sales figures, which is a language they obviously are going to understand, and then take people on. So it suddenly, from what was sort of sit down, write some poems, and maybe I'll magically have a book, it became a much more about, this is going to take years. This is hard work. I'm going to have to put in all the effort, but actually I want to put it in, so it's not going to be scary. So now what do I do? And I just had no idea. And so I had to learn a huge amount about self-publishing, about what that means, about the different ways in. And after the last 2 years of researching and, you know, spending time looking into this and asking questions and finding out, I've done it, but that wasn't quite enough, because I think the teacher in me is like, oh, I want to help other people do this now because I've got knowledge and I need to share it. So Magic Daisy Publishing is a company that I've set up to support people who are at the stage I was 2 years ago, who just need that bit of advice about where to go and how they might do this. And I think because I know this is something I want to write more poetry books, I'm working on sort of book number two now. I like the idea of them being part of a sort of family. So that's the Magic Daisy family of books. And I've actually had a few people get in touch recently. And we've got a hip surgeon who's interested in publishing his writing sort of a humorous take and an informative take as well on what it's like to have a hip replacement as the patient, because he's now been the patient as well as having experience as a surgeon. So I've got, you know, different people who are excited about writing saying, this is what I want to do. How do I do it? And that's really exciting as well. So I've rambled on, but actually, yes, in answer to your question, if you'd like to buy a copy of this, it's available on Amazon, but also through magicdaisypublishing.co.uk.
Two reasons to go to that website. Yeah. So if you're interested in self-publishing, I want advice, and to get a copy of this wonderful book, There's a Poem in My Dungarees. Charlie, lovely to see you again. Lovely to catch up with you.
You
good
too.
Luck with the book.
Thank you very
and
much.
Thank you so much. It's been great to have poetry on the show.
Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.